You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hebrews 2. You're going to love this. You know why? Because I say you are. You're going to love it. I believe you're going to enjoy this. Be good for you. Good teaching, good word. You know, you don't need to hear what I have to say. You need to hear what God has to say. Amen? And, you know, God's got help. He's got hope. He's got answers for you. God does not hate you. He's for you. He's not against you. Now, God's against sin, and sin's wrong. And we live in a world that's just, everything's relative. You know, everything's, all sin's relative. But with God, it's not relative. Sin is sin. Wrong's wrong. Right is right. But the good news is, if you've been in sin, you can repent. You can come to God. You know, we live in a world where ungodliness and unholiness is promoted, and everybody stands up and talks about free speech until we talk about Jesus. And all of a sudden, we want to shut everybody down talking about Jesus, but we want to be able to say the most ungodly things on airways and stand up for the most ungodly sins. And then if a preacher stands up and says something against it, then he's just labeled a, you know, some kind of intolerant, radical person. But, you know, right is right, wrong is wrong, you know. I mean, homosexuality is a sin, but you know what? God loves homosexuals. Living together is adultery, but God loves people that are living together. He wants you to get right and come to Him, and you can. And adultery is a sin, and but God loves adulterers. He wants them to come to Him, to repent and get right. And so the big clarion call to the world is, come on, bring the homosexual, bring the adulterer, bring the liar, the cheat, the drug addicts, the alcoholic, bring everyone. If they will come to Jesus... If you will come to Jesus, you're welcome here. If you want to repent, you want to get right with God. But you won't come and stay in your sin. It won't work. You'll want to get right. You'll sense the presence and the power and the deliverance and the freedom and the love of God, and it will change your life. Hallelujah. But we don't hate you. God doesn't hate you. Are you with me? In fact, we're all lost and undone without Jesus. Hallelujah. But right's right and wrong's wrong. We're against sin because what it does to you, what it does to families, what it does to the world that we live in. Righteousness exalts a nation. Amen? Well, what that has to do with what I'm preaching on, I don't know. But anyway, thought I'd share that. I got stirred up about the kid, the you know, the skit and everything. And hallelujah. We don't hate people out there on drugs. We don't hate people out there, you know, ungodly and rebellious and radical. We love them. We pray for them. We're reaching out to them. We want them to come to Jesus. Amen? Okay, Hebrews 2, verse 15. Well, 14. You know I'm notorious for backing up and getting things in context. I will stop right there, though, 14th verse. Inasmuch then as the children, that's us, have partaken of flesh and blood, that's you and me, He Himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same. He took a body, He took on flesh and blood, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Hallelujah, somebody. That's always fascinated me, that the devil's greatest weapon was death, and that's the thing that God used to destroy the devil with. That's always a sign of a great logician or strategist, war strategist, is he takes the greatest enemy, the greatest power weapon of the enemy, and turns it against him. That's what God did. He took death, which was the greatest power the devil had, and through death destroyed death. Hallelujah. Jesus came to die. They crucified him. They killed him. And the Bible says, had they known, had the prince of this world, the devil, demons, angels, fallen angels, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They thought they had made an end of it when they killed him, and all they did was start a brand new covenant and brand new deal. That's what he came to do, was to die. They thought they buried him, and all they did was plant him. And what you plant comes back up. Whew, hallelujah. They thought they got rid of him, and all they did was multiply him through all of us. Now there's millions upon millions of Jesuses all over the world. Are you with me? Now, we're not Jesus, but we're His children. Are you with me? Children of God. So it says here, 15th verse, and release those. Everybody say release.
Release.
King James, I believe, says deliver. Deliver them. Deliver them. Man, I want to be delivered, don't you? Yes. I want to be released. I want to be freed. I want to be delivered. I heard a guy say one time, every time he sees liver on a plate, he wants to be delivered from it. Yeah. But God's will is not that you be bound, that you be tied up. And see, even that drama we just saw from the youth department, there were symbolically children that were bound, youth that were bound, tied up. with what the world says is cool. I used to think I was cool. I was just a fool, you know, until I met Jesus. And those things don't free, you know, oh, do your own thing, be free. No, they don't free you. They bind you up. They don't make you free. They ruin you. They destroy you. They destroy your destiny and your future. And it says he came to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now think about that. And I'm not going to teach you know, on just what happens at death. In fact, we've been teaching in the Sunday school on the underworld and the afterlife and so on and talking about some of these things. But fear always brings bondage. That's the point I want to bring out. Is fear of anything will get you in bondage to the thing you're afraid of. I mean, you can be afraid to cross a bridge. You know, some people are afraid to fly in a plane. Some people are afraid to get in an elevator. But you know what that does? That puts you in bondage to that. That limits you because now you can't cross the bridge or you can't fly in the plane or you can't get in the elevator. And now you're in bondage to the fear. You can have a fear of people, a fear of talking to people, a fear of relationships, a fear of all kinds of things. As long as you have that fear, it's going to put you in bondage. Now, in life, you're always going to have feelings. You're always going to have... We're not talking about getting rid of feelings. Feelings come, feelings go. And fear is just a feeling. Fear is not really a decider. It doesn't decide your future for you. You decide your future. Fear is a decision. So is faith. Faith is a decision. But you are the decider. You decide what to do. And a man who's considered bold or courageous is not a man who doesn't feel fear. He's just a man that plows through the fear. There was a book written one time, Feel the Fear, Do It Anyway. Love that. I love that title. You feel fear in life, but you do it anyway. Proverbs says, be not afraid of sudden fear. So in life, we're always going to have fear. Approaching any new situation or relationship, there's always going to be fear. Any new job, there's going to be fear. In fact, there's been studies done on all kinds of successful people, whether it's business people, actors and actresses, or you know whatever, pastors or whatever. Every single one of them said, in interviewing them, that they all felt fear when they faced this opportunity, this interview, this audition, or whatever it was to get this job or this position. Every single one of them felt fear, bar none. What was the difference maker? The difference maker was they did it anyway. So you're never going to get rid of the feeling, but you can overcome it. And you have to act your way into feeling if you want to know the truth. See, we've been feeling our way into action, and we should be acting our way into feeling. We've been acting on our feelings, and we should make our feelings follow our actions. That's why we don't love, because we don't feel like it. That's why we don't forgive, because we don't feel like it. See, we're acting on our feelings, and God never asked you to do that. He never asked you to feel a certain way. He asked you to do certain things. He asked you to say certain things. And I think it's amazing, the more you act on the word, the more you start feeling the thing that he mentions. You know, I don't feel love when I first start loving. I just do what love would do. I say what love would say. I'm decent, civil, and kind, and pray for people when I don't feel like it. When I feel like I want to take their head off. I act on the word instead of the feeling. And an amazing thing transpires when you do that. The more you act, the more the feeling starts conforming. Now, see, you can conform yourself to your feelings, or you can conform your feelings to your decisions based on the Word of God. And so that's what we find in here is we've got information. We've got, we've got some insight. And the end of all knowledge is action. I mean, we're to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Amen? But don't fall into that trap of going by feelings. And even when he talks about fear, don't fall into that trap of, well, I still feel it. Well, goodness gracious, we all feel it. We all feel bitterness. We all feel unforgiveness. We all feel hate. We feel strife. Some of us just don't act on it. And you'll find the more you don't act on it, the more that feeling will disappear. And then the real sense of love will come. I can remember praying for people. I remember one person in particular I prayed for 30 days. 30 days. They had sinned against me, but I was remembering. You know how we're so precious, we're so special. You know, somebody sins against us and it's the end of the world. I mean, how can anybody do that to me? Then for long, you get mad, you get in sin. That's what St. Augustine said. You know, he said, he's a 4th, 5th century saint. He said, if a bad man sins against you, forgive him lest there be two bad men. Yeah. So it might start out you were offended, but see, if you take the offense, you're going to get in sin yourself. And you know that's the truth. Somebody does something, you get mad. You're hurt. Your feel bads have gotten hurt. Hello. We're so special. But what you have to do, you have to pray. You have to pray. You have to pray for them. I remember in particular, I prayed for this person for 30 days. Every day for 30 days. And it was tough. It was hard because what they did had affected me and my family. And I just kept praying. I said, God, I forgive that man. I forgive that man. Forgive me of anything in me. I don't want it in me. And Lord, bless them. In fact, the first few days, I had to take my hands and go, blast them. Hello. It was a struggle. But I just pressed through because I realized I can't afford the luxury of that kind of unforgiveness and that hurt and that pain and that bitterness. That's going to affect everybody around me. That's going to affect my family. That'll affect the church. Hello. You got to get rid of that stuff. Hello. So about 30 days, literally 30 days of doing that every day. Every morning I'd pray like that. Pray about an hour, actually. I prayed a long time because it was devastating, natural. About 30 days, it all left me. That's not a magic number. I don't know. You may do it in a few days. But I tell you what, you ought to do it till you get rid of it. Just keep thanking God for the answer and keep praying and keep lifting them up. And when I would think about that person after that, nothing in me. Nothing in me. But I had to pay a price. I had to hang in there. I had to keep believing. I had to act on the word. Act on, and not on the feeling. Because feelings come and go. Mostly go. You can change your feelings. Amen? Amen. Don't let your feelings change you, though. Here, he's talking about fear. And he said he came to release us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. Bondage is just, one translation says serfdom or slavery. One definition of it is subjection to some force or compulsion or influence. God does not want you subjected to that. He wants you subjected to Him. He wants you, if you're going to be a slave to Him. And really, that's freedom when you're a slave to Him, when you're the servant of Christ and the servant of God. Amen? Actually, you're a child of God, and He's your Father. And it's a freeing thing. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Fear hath bondage. It brings bondage. So it's not a good thing. Are you with me? There's a reverential fear where we fear God. That's a good thing. That's awe. That's respect. That's reverence. Hello. But just fear of things, fear of people, fear of challenges, fear of witnessing, fear of serving God, fear that you're not going to be able to do this, fear of overcoming addiction, you're just not going to be able to do this. Don't you buy the lie. That's the devil talking to you. Fear didn't come from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that. And so as we get into God's Word and find out about God, He wants to free us. He doesn't want to bind us. He wants to release us and deliver us. He doesn't want us in bondage. So I don't know what it is that you fear. It may be some weird thing. But whatever it is, you need to pray about that. You need to pray and ask God to help you. Amen. Now turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs. Proverbs 29. Hallelujah. So glad you came today. Not that I was afraid that you wouldn't, but glad you came. Proverbs 29, this is good. Verse 25, the fear of man brings a snare. Everybody say snare? Snare. A snare here in the Hebrew just means a trap for small animals. Anything dangerous or risky that tempts or attracts, a thing by which a person is entangled. You could be most people, I keep thinking about this drama that we just had here with the youth. Most people get into sin because they want to be accepted. They have a fear of being rejected. They really do. That's the power of peer pressure. And you start making compromises because you don't want to be rejected. Because if you do what they do, they will accept you. And everybody wants to be accepted. Now, there's nothing wrong wanting to be accepted. What goes wrong is when we make compromises to do it. And we want to be accepted by the wrong people. Now, by all means, we want to be accepted by God. Amen? By all means, we want to please Him. And by all means, we want Him to love us. And one thing you can know without a shadow of a doubt, maybe you've been rejected because of your stand for Jesus or for your holiness or morality or whatever, but God has received you and accepted you, and He loves you, and He's for you, and He can wrap His arms around you, and you got a great company of saints and a host of saints and a host of Christians that are on your side. Hallelujah. Amen. Truth be known, there's two-thirds of the angels still serving God. Only a third of them fell. So the good ones outweigh the bad ones 2-1. If you didn't have that, just God the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost would be enough. Amen. But that fear, see, that fear of man, that fear of rejection will ensnare you. Whatever you compromise to get, you'll lose. You will lose. So if you compromise your convictions or your stand or your service to God to be accepted by someone, you wind up losing that. You'll lose your convictions. Hello? And it all starts with fear. See, that's why he says it's a trap. It is a trap. In fact, it comes from an old English word, F-A-E-R. We spelled F-E-A-R, but there's an old English word that it comes from, F-A-E-R, which means the root word of it is to literally mean a sudden attack. It's akin to the old High German word, which means an ambush or a snare. So when you feel fear, just know this. There's a snare out there. There's a trap. Wake up. Hello, pay attention here. Somebody's setting a trap and a snare. Of course, I know where it's coming from. Amen. We've got an enemy, an adversary of the devil, not God. God's our ally and our friend and our father. So when that's a red light. That's a flag that goes off. When I feel that fear, stop. Wait a minute. There's a trap being set here. Don't you give in to it. You pray.
That's right.
Amen. Start trusting God. Start believing God. Start calling on God to help you. Don't give in to that fear. You say, my knees are knocking. Kneel on them. That's the best thing to do with knocking knees is kneel on knocking knees. My lips quivering. Well, pray. And just quiver out Jesus. If you do Jesus, that's fine. Just get it out. That's all right. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you quiver. Doesn't matter if your knees knock. It doesn't matter. Just God's holding you accountable for what you do and say, not what you feel. That's where we mess up, see. We start feeling a certain way. We think we failed because of the feeling. No, no, just keep doing the right thing. Hallelujah. Just keep doing it because God said to do it. God does not hold me accountable for my feelings. Where is that in the Bible? He'll judge me according to my works. Not to be saved. I'm talking about rewards and so on as Christians, believers. But every work will be tried. Didn't say every feeling will be tried. He's going to judge me according to my feelings. Oh, goodness gracious. And you know how to be civil and decent and kind when you don't feel like it. I've used this example many times and it bears repeating because I'm up here and I'm preaching. I'll tell it again if I want to. But you know when someone calls and you're sitting there, you're sitting there in your chair with your favorite Starbucks coffee. I'm just relating it to me. Stay with me. Your favorite television show, in my case, would be a favorite book you're reading, you know. And the phone rings. And it goes something like this. Dear Lord, I can't even have 1 minute's peace. I just sit down. I get my coffee. Do I not have any time at all? The phone's ringing. Hello. What are you doing? Oh, nothing.
Yeah.
Didn't bother you, did it? Oh, not at all.
Yeah.
Now, see, that is civility and decency when you don't feel like it. I know what you're thinking. Every time you call now, I say that, you're going, oh, boy, is he upset. I'm just using that as an example. Anybody ever done that, something similar to that? Come on. See, you're doing what you know's right, regardless of how you feel, even the inconvenience. But you know, it's just not right to take that out on somebody called you on the phone. Why are you so special anyway? You know, your time. It's not your time. It's God's time. You don't own time. It's a little snippet of time you've got. It's mine. That's my time. My time. Mine. You've seen Finding Nemo, haven't you? Those seagulls. And you get grandkids, you watch all the children's shows. You know, I watch them all now. But anyway, quit being so selfish. Quit going by your feeling. Are you with me? You know, just do what's right. And when fear comes, don't act on it. That's a feeling. Feelings come and go. Pay attention to it. Well, I just have this fear. Well, that's all right. Just keep doing the work. Just keep doing it. Keep doing your work. You know, I heard this years ago. In fact, it was in a book, Jesus CEO, by Laura Beth Jones, I believe the author of it. I read it years ago. But she said in there, I thought it was real good, that on her good days when she's on top of the world, as it were, she makes her plans. On her bad days, she works the plan. Are you with me? Because you're not always going to be up. Listen, this is life. We're in a broken, fallen world. Yeah, we got promises. Praise God, we can stand on, and we can believe God, and we got a battle we're fighting here. But there are days you're just not going to feel as good as others. That's just the way it is. There's going to be days there's going to be tragedy happen because we're in a broken, fallen world. It's not God, but it happens. We're not in heaven. Are you with me? There's going to be days you feel like doing the right thing, and there's going to be days you don't feel like doing the right thing. There's going to be days you feel like going to church and days you don't feel like going to church. Days you feel like going to work, days you don't feel like going to work. But you know what? Do it. Go to work. Go to church. Do those things that are right. You know they're right. Work the plan. Hopefully you feel like doing those things more than not, but when you don't feel like it, do it anyway because you know it's the right thing. Make your plans when you're on top of the world. Don't ever plan your life out when you're depressed. Don't ever do that. It's the worst thing in the world you can do. In fact, that's real cellular. That's good advice. It's advice I give often, especially when someone has had a tragedy in their life or maybe a loss of a loved one or whatever. Trying time. What a trying time. You know, the pain. And I can see it. I can see it in her face. I just see it. They're thinking, and the fear's coming, and their whole life now lays out before them how miserable they're going to be the rest of their life. And you know what I tell people? I said, look, don't you plan your life out right now. You just take this one day at a time. Let's pray. Let's get some help from God. This thing will come together day by day. This will pass. This will pass. It'll get better. Are you with me? And you got to know that. You got to believe that. You got to believe that God's word is true. You got to believe that God's bigger than this situation. You can't always feel that. You can't always sense that. But you know it's true. You know it's true. So hang in there. Just take it one day at a time. The pain will pass. It will subside. The days will get better.
Amen.
Keep doing the right thing. Keep doing the right thing. Don't let fear dictate your life. Because fear would love to get a hold of you and ensnare you and entrap you. Because that's what fear does. It traps you, see. It boxes you in. Fear, when fear comes, you're just out of options. There's nothing you can do. You feel that way. You feel like, oh my God, there's nothing. I can't do anything about this. Oh no, that's a lie. You can do something about this. You can believe God. You can pray. You can seek His face. You can call some brothers and sisters. You can call the church. We can pray. We'll believe with you. You'll come out of this. You will rise again. A righteous man falls seven times, but he rises again. Hallelujah. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. Let me get the right hand over here. With his right hand. Amen? God's good. All the time. We'll pass through this. Thank God we'll pass through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Think about that, the psalmist said in Psalms 23. God's with me to come. He's got that rod to protect me and to direct me. Brent and I were talking about this yesterday. That rod represents direction. He takes the rod and directs, and he takes the rod and protects. And if you don't have direction, you're not going to have protection. But if you get the direction of God, you'll have some protection in your life. Hallelujah. Woo! Excuse me for getting excited. Don't fear. Don't you fear. All throughout the Word of God, the angels would appear and they'd say, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. And nowhere in the Bible do you see people, when they got afraid, did they ever do anything right. They always did it wrong when they got afraid. Are you with me? Now don't tell me they didn't feel it. The ones that did the right thing felt it, they just didn't act on it. See, let me separate that and let me help you with this because a lot of people thinking, well, I still feel it. Well, of course you do. We all feel it. Come on now. Now pay attention to me because you... We'll get to feeling and we think it's all over. That's just the devil. Don't act on that thing. You're going to feel fear the rest of your life about that. We're never going to get rid of it completely as long as we're down here in this life. Hello. But we can minimize it. But it's always going to keep coming back. Anybody ever been tempted? Did you overcome it? Okay, so you never be tempted again now, huh? Of course not. You're always going to be tempted again. I mean, you just keep coming against it. Hello. See, the idea that, well, if I'm really in faith, I'll never feel anything. Oh, come on. Where does the Bible say that? It never says that. You're always going to feel that thing. There's always going to be temptation. There's always going to be some fear. Don't act on it. I will fear no evil. That means he won't act on it. Choose not to do it. Yield to it. 1 John. Glory. Fear. You know, I heard this. Said, actually, I heard one time saying an acronym for fear would be false evidence appearing real. I heard another one I thought was better than that, false expectations appearing real. I think that's really more descriptive of what fear is because fear has expectations. Fear paints a picture of the future for you. And it appears real. It feels like that's the way it's going to be. And that's where the fear comes from, is believing that it's going to happen like that. See, fear is a faith. It's a faith in reverse. It's a faith in the negative. It's a faith in what the devil presents to you. Faith, on the other hand, is based on something more solid than feelings and pictures and imaginations. Faith is based on the Word. It's based on solid information. It's based on what God said He would do. You're on a lot better ground in faith than you are in fear. Most of what you fear never happens anyway. That's a proven fact. I mean, it's been said up to 90% of what people fear never happens. What you were afraid of 2 years ago right now, you would be hard-pressed to even think of what it was. It just went on, passed, never happened, and here you are. Now you don't even remember what you were afraid about. Mark Twain said this. He said, I've been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened. I think we go through some terrible things that never happened, you know, because of the fear and the torment and the doubt and all this, you know, that comes. You know, Shakespeare said doubts are traitors that cause us to lose what we might win by fearing to attempt. Because we don't step out, we lose. It's a traitor. It betrays us. Why? Because we fear to try. We fear to attempt. And I was thinking of Mark Twain again. He said this about a cat. He said, if a cat sits on a hot stove, he'll never sit on a hot one again. He said, but he'll never sit on a cold one either. And see, that's the danger. If something bad happened to you, and then you're afraid of that thing, and then now you'll never even do that again. Mike, anybody like? So don't let fear be repetitive. Don't let failure be repetitive in your life. I don't know why I keep repetitively putting it on my tie, but anyway. 1 John, found it?
Amen.
This helping you?
Yes.
I'm just getting down there where you live. This is getting down where we all live, amen? We deal with these things, and thank God there are answers. Praise God. But, you know, there's work, too. You got to work at it. You got to discipline yourself. You got to do the Word. You know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, is what Hosea 4:6 says. So you and I have to get a hold of the Word of God. And the end of all knowledge is action. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only. We're not here to just take in a good sermon. We're here to find out how to live, how to act. So when these things come up and you recognize them as such, fear, feelings, and so on, recognize that. That's a trap coming. Don't you get snared by that. Have enough sense to avoid that. Go another direction. Take the Word. Act on it. Even when you don't feel like it. Fake it till you make it. Another Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. I'm rolling on quotes today. I don't know what the deal is. But you assume a virtue if you don't have it. Act on it. You said to put on. Well, the Bible says put on the new man. It is put on. You're putting it on. You're faking it till you make it. You're putting it on until it becomes a lifestyle.
Amen.
This is so unique about this. If you will act out the Word, this is not like acting out a part in a movie or a play or a drama. If you'll act this out, when that's over, the movie's over, the play's over, you're back to your old self. But if you'll act out God's Word, you won't go back to your old self. You become what you act out.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. That'll make you want to love.
Amen.
That'll make you want to forgive. You can just be the meanest person in town. If you repent and ask God to forgive you and start loving people, and it'll take some time. You'll fall. You'll stumble. You'll sin. You'll have to repent, but keep getting back up and keep doing it. Years go by, and you'll just turn out to be the sweetest person.
Yeah.
And we just love you so much more when you do that.
Yeah.
Hello. 1 John. 1 John 4. I love this. It says in the... Oh, man. I just want to read the whole book, you know, just starting Genesis 1. Now, starting at 14 first. 1 John 4, 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. 17 verse. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We should act like he acts and do what he does. There is no fear in love. Love that. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Man, you can plow through that fear. You can cast out that fear. You can love your way right through that fear. Perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. See that? It torments you. Fear has torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. He's talking about acting on it, living it out, and letting it dictate your life. What you need to do is let love dictate your life. Contrary to what Tina Turner says, love has everything to do with it. Contrary to what else she said, love is not a secondhand emotion. She was talking about lust. She wasn't talking about love. Love is real. Love is eternal. Love abides forever. Love's perfect. Love casts out fear. All the fears in life, if you'll love God, and you'll love God, and you'll love His Word, and you'll stand on His Word, you know what? You can cast that fear out. You can get rid of that fear. And the torment that comes with it. Torment here, I looked this up in the Greek. What it means is an instrument of torture or inflicted torture. Great pain or anguish, physical or mental suffering, agony. How many of you can relate that? You know, come on, we're being real. We've all had times in our life when we've let fear get the best of us. Amen. Fear of the future, fear financially, fear maritally, fear physically, any number of things. Just fear of what my life's going to be like. And you just roll and toss and turn and stay awake all night. And the torment of fear. God does not want you to live that way. Amen. That is not your plight. That is not your cross to bear. That is not your thorn in the flesh, as we often refer to, you know. That is not at all what the thorn in the flesh was. Come on now. God's not into bad. God's good. God's not into pain. He's into healing. He's the Lord God that healeth thee, not the Lord God that maketh thee sick. He's the God of peace, not the God of depression. Come on. He's the author of peace, not confusion. And so when those things come up, recognize them as such. They're just tools of the enemy. Fear he's trying to bring. Torment he's trying to bring. Bondage and a snare he's trying to put on you, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples indeed, and you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. I love to hear stories about people going into prisons and preaching. We've got some men that go all the time, go to prisons, and just got back from Mike Barber Prison Ministry. Fred and different ones, Tommy and Frank, goodness, I'll miss some, Dale, lots of people went. And one thing you hear a lot, and I think Kenneth Copeland was preaching this last time, is that right? One thing you hear a lot, people will say, they'll say, you can be free in this prison. Because freedom's an inside job. Amen. It's not what's going on outside of you. It's what's going on inside of you. And a lot of us look like we're free. There's people outside of prison that are more bound up than people in prison. Because it has nothing to do with circumstance. It has nothing to do with what's going on in your life. It has everything to do with what's going on inside of you. And once you find that out, praise God, you can get in the Word of God. You can pray and believe God and trust God. And fear will leave and freedom will come. You can be free indeed. Woo, hallelujah. See, he who fears God needs fear nothing. He who fears not God needs to fear everything else. Hello. Thank God we don't fear man, we fear God. And because we fear God, we fear nothing else. And that's not the same kind of fear. That's a reverence fear. We love Him. My goodness, I turn to Isaiah 41. I'll just quit. We'll wrap this up. We'll have to pick this up later. God wants you free. He wants you free. He wants you free.
Amen.
You know, you can lay awake at night and wonder about your children that are out there and coming in late. You know, your mind starts reeling and rocking about it. Maybe they had a car wreck. Maybe this happened, that happened. That's a fear. Don't you entertain that. Don't you do that. What are my kids going to turn out to be? Well, they're going to serve God if you believe God and trust God and stand on the Word. And you know, and don't give up. Don't you throw the towel in. They can mess up. That's all right. You know, they're going to get right. They're going to get right. Man, we've prayed for all of our children for years. And all of our children are serving God. And I've always said this. We've always made this statement. All of our children are going to serve God. And everybody they hook up with. You know, Acts 16:31 says you make a way for your whole household to be saved. Why would I let the devil take that away from me? Let the devil run my family, run my life. I'd stand up and die for my family. Do you realize? I mean, wouldn't you as a man, wouldn't you protect your family to the point of death if you had to? Someone breaking in your house or trying to hurt your children? I mean, I would lay down my life for them. And I'm going to sit here as a Christian and let the devil have my kids? No way. No way. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe God.
Amen.
I'm not putting up with that.
Amen.
I want to stir you into action. You're a Christian. You're a believer. You've got rights and privileges, not against each other, but against the devil. Hello, don't let the devil steal your family, your future. You know, we've had challenges, but, you know, we just kept believing. Kept praying. I mean, they'd bring some of these old dogs in, you know, and we'd have to run them out. And I won't go into all that. But anyway, I sat down with all of them, you know, and talked to them. And I remember, you know, the son-in-laws. Goodness, all the son-in-laws. I told them all. I said, you know, you got to be saved. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost. I'm not marrying you. And I'm doing the wedding. And they all got right. Every one of them. No, they were Christians before they dated. But anyway, Isaiah 41. I don't have to go off on all that. I love my kids. I love my family. I am not going to go all around the world, pastor this church, and let my family go to hell. This is my biggest mission field. It's your greatest mission field. It's your greatest responsibility. Don't you lay down and let the devil take over your house. Don't you do it. You pray. You believe God. Don't let those fears come in. They're not going down the tubes. These kids nowadays are just, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. No, don't say those kinds of things. You pray. You be the exception to the rule. Don't you be a statistic. You be the Christian, the believer that prayed over their kids. Be the example. Be the light. Get some bragging rights. Bragging on Jesus. Amen? I love that. I love bragging rights. I love to say, look here. Well, you can say what you want to, but God can do this. And God can do it for you. Amen. Well, this world we live in, I don't know how these kids... Well, I know. We can pray.
Amen.
We can pray. Well, yeah, but they reach that certain age. There's just not a thing in the world. No, if you raise a child up in the way they go, the Bible says they will not depart from it.
Amen.
Is that a lie or is that the truth? I believe it's the truth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'd love to pray to all my kids up here. They're all in church today. They're all serving God in different departments of the church. Their children, my grandchildren, our grandchildren. You know, we got nine. Okay, I won't tell my grandchildren stories. I love to start those. Isaiah 41, found it? Isaiah 41, this is good. 10th verse. Man, I'll just close out with this. You don't get through, you just quit, go home, you know. Besides that, the Cowboys play at 3:30. We've got to be sure and get out of here. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Oh, you could preach a whole sermon on that, because he's with us. Yea, though walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hello. You say, well, I feel so alone. Let me tell you something. You've never been alone a day in your life since you got saved. You have never been alone. God has always been with you, and he's there to help you. Strengthen you. Get you on down the road. Amen? He's for you. Praise God, not against you.
Amen.
Call on him. I love that song. When the darkness closes in. And on my knees again. I call your name. Oh man, I tell you. Because it is the sweetest name I know. And he comes. You know, you call on a lot of people. But you never call on anybody like Jesus.
Right.
Never, never, ever. You've called a lot of people to help you. A lot of people probably helped you in life. But nobody's ever done you like Jesus does you. Because there can't nobody do you like Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says this, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I like the Amplified here. It says, I'll harden you to difficulties. Oh, man, that's powerful there. Because really, you know, when you're hard to... We say a person's a hard person if they don't have any compassion. You know, they're not moved by someone's need or, you know, oh, man, that's a hard man. I don't know how he could be that way. He's hardened to people's pain. Well, God wants to harden you to difficulty, to where it doesn't affect you. See, difficulty comes, but it doesn't affect us. We're just unaffected by it. And God will do that for you. Let the devil throw his best shot. Let the wind blow. We've heard the wind blow before. When it's all over, we'll still be standing. Amen. So he says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's good. You know, I read a quote one time. I thought this was good. Our greatest enemies are not wild beasts or deadly germs but fears that paralyze thought, poison the mind, and destroy character. Our only protection against fear is faith. Faith in God. I will not fear. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, the psalmist said in Psalm 112. How do you overcome fear? You overcome fear by trusting God.
Amen.
So I challenge you to trust God. As Jesus told Jairus, fear not, only believe.
Amen.